Morning, everyone. Morning, church. Oh, hang on. Right. Okay. So as a church, we have been going through the values of our church. So I find in life, what happens with me is that every so often I need to sort of realign myself and get back on track with different things. Perhaps sometimes we do that after Christmas, don't we, when we've been eating a lot? And I find like I just need to get back with God. And I kind of slightly just get off track a little bit. And before I know it, I'm over here. And I just need to come back to who God is. And this is what we're doing in this series. We're looking at our values, the foundations of who we are as a church. Not just who we want to be, but who we are as a church. And we've been going through some of these values. And Damien has gone through each week and he has asked us to say together the values that we're going through. And so it'd be good if we could do that. But as we do it, I just feel like maybe we'll rise to our feet and stand and let's speak it over us that this is the people that who we are, not just that we just want to be, but this is who we are. Can we do that? Yeah. Okay. So here we go. Wait till you're stood. It's good for us to stand. Especially if we can. Right, Lord, this is who we are. A church where Jesus is at the center. A church that loves and obeys God. A church that honors and seeks the presence of God. A church of people living naturally supernatural lives. A church of people growing to maturity as disciples of Christ. A church that pursues holiness. A church where everyone finds their place in ministry. A church that is courageous, willing to take God-inspired steps of faith. A church of missionaries, sharing the good news of Jesus with our town and beyond. A church with a culture of radical generosity. A church that is a family. And a church that has a deep commitment to unity. I just wonder if we could just remain standing just for a moment. I just like us, you know, in line with that word of expectation, I just want us to stir up our spirit in ourselves and just pray for a thirst and a hunger for God and his presence and just for more of God in your own life and in the life of this church. So if you just, you know, if you're not normally, don't normally know how to pray, just say, God, teach me how to pray. So let's just pray. Let's just, where you are, just speak out. If you speak in tongues, you can speak in tongues, but let's just open ourselves up to God for a moment. Lord Jesus, we just pray, Lord God, that you speak to us this morning. Pray that you increase your hunger, Lord Jesus, in us. Jesus, we just raise our voices to you, Lord God, and we just want to be awake to you this morning. Wake us up, Lord Jesus. Wake us up, Lord God. Wake up our spirits, Lord Jesus. Speak to us this morning. Will you create a hunger and a thirst in us for the things of God? For you, Jesus. We seek your face this morning and we just honor you. We thank you for your presence here. And Lord, we just open up our hearts and Lord, we pray you'll increase our expectation of what you want to do in our lives. Amen. Right, do take a seat. So I have the immense privilege of speaking today on a church that honours and seeks the presence of God. And my main preparation for this, I've had like, since since Damien asked me, we've had a crazy couple of weeks. But I just thought the best thing that I could do to prepare was to spend as much time as I could in the presence of God, in worship and in prayer. I've been up a few big hills. I had a conference this week in Malvern, and where the Elim Youth Conference. It's a fantastic time. And I just really feel like I've been with God. And so I come to you today feeling like I've been with God, that I've had time to honor and seek his presence. And, you know, I'm not 100% sure where we're going to go, but and what's going to happen today, but I want us to be expectant of what he wants to say to us. And I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. When I'm talking about the presence of God, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. And I can't cover every kind of moment of teaching and theology on this. So if you don't understand what I'm talking about today and you'd like to know more, please do speak to someone about that. And I would say life groups, it's a really good environment to do that. If you're not in a life group, they are, some of the life groups are going through the values as we go through them as a church, and so it might be a good environment for you to ask those questions. When I'm talking about the presence of God, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, which is part of God and his presence here on earth. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a little tour. We're going to take you on a little journey into the Old Testament, through to the New, and up to the present day. A whistle-stop tour, very quickly. It'll be good. You braced in? Ready to go? Right, good. Right, okay. So, Solomon built a temple. And his father David had it in his heart to build this temple, because he wanted a place where the presence of God could dwell on her earth. He wanted it to be glorious and magnificent and amazing. And so David spent years preparing for his son to build this temple. And it cost a lot. It cost time, they used skills, and they used time and energy to build this temple to absolute perfection of what God told them, how God told them to do it. And they did it with such care and such honor. And then they came to dedicate that temple. And there's a few chapters where it talks about the dedication of the temple. And they went to a lot of effort to purify themselves and purify the temple ready for use. You know, they sacrificed many animals ready and to like come right with their sin and come right before God. And you might not be able to read that, sorry, it's a bit small, but this is what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7. This is what happened after they spent several chapters already preparing, okay, for the presence of God. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. And when the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and they gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good, and his love endures forever." And then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 head of cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. And so the king and all the people dedicated the temple of the Lord. It talks about how God's glory, his presence, came and filled that temple. There on earth was a sign of the presence of God. There was a place where the presence of God came. And I think there's some things that we can learn from this about how God came. When did the Spirit come? Well, the first thing that I want to say is that it came after great sacrifice by the people. In 2 Chronicles 5 verse 6, it said, "And King Solomon and the entire assembly of Israel that gathered," this was before the however many thousand sheep and goats and everything else about him, "were before the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and cattle that they could not be recorded or counted." Okay, so afterwards they'd recorded 22,000 head of cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. So goodness knows how many that was. But there was great sacrifice before the presence of God came. And what they were doing is they were purifying themselves. They were setting themselves apart. They were consecrating themselves. It said that the priests consecrated themselves. But they were being very aware of their sin. And they were able to come before God and say, we want to be holy. We want to be set apart for God. And then the Spirit came. So first it was great sacrifice. Then they consecrated themselves. And in this time, there was great worship. They were seeking God. There was a sense of they were seeking God's presence. Solomon prayed, now, my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Now arise, Lord, and come to your resting place, and you and the ark of your might. There's a sense in which the people of God were seeking God's face. They were praying. They wanted God to be there and part of what they're doing. So the Spirit came, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God came after the great sacrifice, after they'd consecrated themselves to God, and then the Spirit came. And you'll notice what I love, what happens afterwards. Their worship overflowed. They couldn't help but just kneel down and worship God. They were prostrate before him. Did I say that right? Yeah, that's right. I thought I said the wrong thing then. But they just lay down before God and they just worshiped and said, God, you're good and your love endures forever. And then they sacrificed again. All of those sheep and goats, they were overflowing with worship and sacrifice. And, you know, their lives were being set apart, ready for obedience to follow God. So that is how, in the Old Testament, the presence came. And we're going to jump forward. So this was before Jesus came. Oh, hello. Getting a bit excited. Before Jesus came, the Holy Spirit was in one place in the temple. And only one priest could go once, you know, the high priest could go once a year and after great sacrifice into the presence of God. The presence of God was in one place. And sometimes he was on one person. So sometimes it was the prophet would be the man of the hour, the man of power for the hour. There would be one person who God was on. And it was like the Holy Spirit was on earth. God's presence was on earth. But we couldn't all access that presence. But then Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he said, I'm going to go to the Father and it's going to be better for you if I go to the Father, because then you can all have the Holy Spirit. You can all have the presence of God within you. And then we'll see greater things because all of us will contain the presence of God. Jesus came, he had the presence of God. He healed people. He set people free. He brought life and salvation to many, didn't he? Yeah, and he said it'd be better if I go to the Father and I'm going to pray and he's going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And then, you know, when you became a Christian, you became a temple. And it says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, it says, did you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. When you became a Christian, it meant that you could step into that presence of God and that you could have the Holy Spirit of God, the presence of God, the presence of the creator of the universe, the one that was there at creation. You can have the Holy Spirit in your life and know the presence of God. Isn't that amazing? That you're a temple. I don't wake up every morning and go, I'm a temple. But, you know, it's like we have the presence of God with us. We may not have experienced the fullness of that Spirit, but church, we can seek for the fullness of that Spirit, can't we? We can seek for more of God because we seek his face. But I want us to notice, how did the Holy Spirit come first off? He came after great sacrifice. And it wasn't a sacrifice that we had to make. And it wasn't cattle, it wasn't sheep and goats. It was the sacrifice of Jesus. When Jesus went to the cross, when he was tortured, when he was falsely accused, when he was bruised and beaten, and when his body was nailed to a cross and he became a curse for you and for I, he took the sin. He took all of that shame in his body. And so that we could be united with God, so we could come into the presence of God. You and I can be filled with the presence of God because there has been a great sacrifice in Jesus. We can enter in. That is good news, isn't it? And then, you know, we see in Acts how the Holy, well, what happens is when we come to know God, we come and we say sorry, don't we, for the things we've done wrong. We come to God and we ask for God to cleanse us. So just as it was in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came after great sacrifice. It also comes when we get our lives right with God. Promises us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You and I have been cleansed from all unrighteousness. We can be made holy by God. I think that's a process for, you know, I step into God and I am righteous before God, but I'm in a process of being what the Bible calls sanctified, being made holy, being made more like Jesus. That is ultimately my goal, to get to know God more and to become more like Jesus. That's God's goal for us. If you don't know what your goal is in life, that's what you were created for. So the Spirit comes after great sacrifice in Jesus. And the Spirit comes to us when we set ourselves apart for God. And in Acts, when the Holy Spirit first came to the church, it said they came together in unity and they waited on God. There was a hunger, there was a thirst. Jesus had died and they'd watched him raise from the dead. Then they watched him go to heaven. They were like, they were pretty desperate, I think, for the presence of God and pretty desperate for the power of God to be moved through them. I mean, it's quite a big responsibility to have the Savior of the world come and then, right, you guys were my followers, ready, off you go. But Jesus came to fill them with power and fill them with his presence. And then we see so many wonderful things in the New Testament and in Acts, where the church of God and the word of God spread abroad. And there were signs and wonders all over. And the church grew in great number. So the Spirit comes in the New Testament after great sacrifice, after they set themselves apart, and when they seek God. And the thing that overflowed was worship. Again, you just see their lives given as sacrifices. You know, some of these disciples gave their lives, their very lives, to follow God. And there was obedience and holiness. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. Just like it did in the Old Testament, it does in the New Testament too. But it's even more wonderful, I think. We've got even greater things. And I don't know about you, but I... For a long time, I was in church. I grew up as a Christian, and no, I didn't grow up as a Christian. I became a Christian, but I was brought up in God. And when I became a Christian, I always liken it when I'm describing it as like I asked God into my life, and I really believe for all of us, the Holy Spirit comes in our lives and works in different ways. And I always liken it to like the pilot light in your boiler. There's like a little light going on in your life, but then sometimes something happens when you seek God and you're really earnestly wanting more of God in your life, and it's almost like, you know, the heating comes on. And like, you know, when you get that whoosh of gas that comes out and suddenly the boiler's working, and hopefully, and the heat goes throughout the house, doesn't it? And then suddenly the power comes. And for me, that happened for me in my life. But up until, you know, I had this sort of earnest sort of desire for God, and I knew about God, and he was my friend and he was my savior. But the Holy Spirit was kind of the bit on the end of the prayer. I was brought up in an Anglican church. So it was like God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. So it sounded a bit spooky. Didn't really know what this Holy Spirit was. And nobody had really talked about it that much. And I'll tell you a few things about in a bit about how God stirred a hunger in me through different people. But there was a moment in time when I just really was just like, God, I really need you more in my life. And I was just started university, and there was a real move of God at that point across the church. And I remember the time where I got prayed for, and I just sensed the presence of God in a new way. And I just believe that I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Some call it being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was like power came into my life. And it changed. Instead of knowing about God, I felt like I knew him. Instead of knowing that I was forgiven, but not really feeling like I was forgiven, I knew that I was forgiven. And I got so excited because I was a child of God, like just that he loved me. And it was just like, and it just began this whole healing process in me of knowing that who I was in God and who I am in God. And suddenly I wanted to read the Bible, and it became alive to me. Like Damien was talking about last week, you need the Holy Spirit as you read the word of God, because he enlightens things to you as you read it. I wanted to worship. I like go pretty mad in worship because he is so amazing. He's done so much in my life. I just want to tell him how great he is. And I know, you know, it's just like, it just bubbles up. But that happened after the presence of God came more fully in my life. And I just wanted to pray. And I was able to pray more easily than I'd ever been able to before. And I began to tell people about him. I suddenly got this boldness, didn't even try to tell people about him. It just happened because the Holy Spirit was at work in my life in a new and a fresh way. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. That before the Alpha course probably existed, that's what had happened in my life. All these things that I've put up there are things that when the Holy Spirit comes, you learn about in the Alpha course, that this is what he does. But this is actually what he does, because I know, because I've experienced it. So he helps us to know that we are God's children, know that we are forgiven, not just know it, but know it in the inner being of who we are, be part of God's family, get to know God better, to become more like Jesus. That is the fruit. When the Holy Spirit comes and you begin to change, you see the fruit of the Spirit in your life more. You want your life to look differently. And with it being connected to him, your life begins to change. And he brings with him the gifts of the Spirit, which I think we'll talk about in future weeks, and power and boldness to share the gospel. It's a good thing. And I believe, I've done this little thing, I believe that God wants us to honor his presence in this church. And so, you know, gone through the Old Testament, New Testament, but now today, I want us to think about, what do we do as a church? What is God saying to us? And I believe that, you know, if we're going to honor the presence of God, there needs to be a holiness in us, which means we need to be set apart. We need to be becoming more like Jesus, and on that process, we need to be asking God to clean up our lives. The Old Testament says, you know, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He has clean hands and a pure heart. And today, I was just literally open my Bible to read the next verse that I was ready, you know, was the verse that I was going to read today. And I was sort of, I had a little chuckle to myself because I was like, this is God right here speaking to me. So it says in Ephesians 4 verse 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ God forgave you." And that whole section, if you read it, is about our lives, about how we speak, how we treat one another, the attitude of our hearts and the attitudes of our minds. And you know, if we want to see God move in more power, I don't want to be clogged up with sin. Do you? That's the Holy Spirit can't flow through me more easily. And so we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit in this church. So I believe there's a holiness and obedience that God is asking us into. And you know, when he asks us to do something, we need to do it. You know, because he's our Lord. We are the temple of God, and we do not belong to ourselves anymore. That's what the verse said. We were bought at a price. I want to be somebody who's hearing the prompting of the Spirit and stepping out. And that's the most exciting place to be as well, when it's scary sometimes, isn't it? When God prompts you to speak to that person or bring that word to that person. But I want to be that person who's doing that. And I believe the more we step out in obedience, the more God will be able to move in our lives. And I've put love down, loving God and loving people. Like, that's, you know, if we want to see the Holy Spirit move more, we need to make sure we're filled with his love and we're giving it away. Don't think we can ever get away from the message of love. And finally, I've put yearn. And you may not be hungry for God right at the moment and thirsty for God. And I would encourage you, if you're in that place, to pray that God would put a hunger in you for more of his Spirit and more of him in your life. pray and stir yourself up. Well, I remember reading, it was probably the first book, like Christian biography I ever read about Jackie Pullinger. It's called Chasing the Dragon. And I remember reading that book, and I had never really experienced the Holy Spirit. I'd never seen the Holy Spirit at work. And she was a young woman who followed the promptings of God, ended up in Hong Kong because that was how much money she had. That's where she ended up. And she began to work among people in Hong Kong in the walled city, work with drug addicts and prostitutes and gang leaders. And she began to see God really work. But she got tired and she got weary. And then she began to cry out for God's power. And God filled her with his spirit. And then she began to see miracles, people coming off of drugs without any side effects. And people turning to him, and people turning from a life of hate and crime to God. And I was excited. I thought, wow, God could use me. She's a British woman, you know, that just went and followed God. She wasn't accepted by any missionary society. She just went following the prompting of God. And for the first time, I felt like God was going, Faye, look what I could do through your life. And I got hungry for God. And then I read a book called 9 o'clock in the Morning, and it was about a church where they're, you know, nicely following God, you know, nice church. And then the pastor started really saying, this nice church isn't enough for me. I want the Holy Spirit here. And loads of people left as the Holy Spirit fell. But then God began to just fill that church in a new way. And things like that made me hungry for God. I don't know what will make you hungry for God. I don't know what will put that hunger and thirst in you. But I would say cry out to God that you'll be more hungry for him in your life. Because I believe he wants us to be hungry for him and seek after him. If we're hungry for him, we will seek him with all of our hearts. I've been feeling like, and I think we as a church have been feeling like, the breakthrough. We want to see breakthrough. We want to see God take us up to another level in God. Do we? So we want. And I've really felt that. And I feel that maybe that God's calling us to pray for that breakthrough together. Maybe God's calling you to fast and pray. Perhaps you've never fasted before. Maybe that he wants you to fast social media, or maybe it's not food. Maybe it's Candy Crush, or, you know, whatever is keeping you from God right now. But I believe he wants us to seek him and clean up our lives to see that breakthrough come, because I believe it's coming. And this week when I was at the conference, we sang this song, and we started singing in it, and it was like somebody had written a song which summed up how I was feeling in the spirit. I thought, how did they know? But it was all about God coming and breakthrough coming. And as we were praying, I saw the clouds. I was looking at the clouds, and I saw light coming through. And I feel that's where we are with the Lord, that God is breaking through. And as we were singing, I was just praying, God, just push those clouds back, because we want to see more of the glory of the Lord. And when I went for this walk, and I've actually got photos of this walk there. I went up to the highest point in Worcestershire. And I was walking up. And as I got up, it got brighter. It was so bright at the top. There was snow on the top of the mountain. It's not a mountain, but I like to think I'd climbed a mountain. But I was stood there. And the sky was blue as I'd kind of come up above, not above the clouds, but, you know, just pretty high up. And I just feel like God wants us to rise up with him, to focus on his face and pray for the breakthrough that is coming. And it's clearer up there with God. We can hear what he's saying, and he can begin to work through our lives. And, you know, I just think as we seek his face, as we get to know him more, as we see his spirit work, then our lives will be clearer. You know, the sin in our lives will be washed away. In one of the talks this week, somebody mentioned this verse, and I thought, we need to respond to this word. And I read in my devotion the other day that we need to leave elbow room for God in our lives. If our lives are too crowded, we need to re-examine, so we've got time to just let God move. There's this bit in Luke 8 where it talks about, it's just after Jesus has healed the demon-possessed man, and the pigs have gone off the side of the cliff. And you know, this man is completely healed. But it says, then all the people of the region of wherever that place is asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. They had the physical Jesus there with them, who had just performed the most amazing miracle, and they didn't want him to be there. And I don't know about you, church, but I do not want to Jesus to be offering in his life and standing before me and say, no, I don't want you. Maybe they didn't want the disruption in their life. You know, the people who owned the pigs, their lives had just been disrupted, hadn't they? You know, the pigs had gone off the side of the cliff. And I just want to ask us this question. Ask yourself this question today. Are we willing to let God disrupt our lives? I want him to, because I know this world needs Jesus, and I know that we need a move of God for Corby, for God to move in a new way. So I say, God, come, continue to disrupt my life, because I feel like he does that anyway. But I'm just encouraging us, come on, let's do it together. Let's not be afraid, church. He's a good God, and he wants to do amazing things. So I feel like today we need to seek him earnestly, clean up our lives, and come and humbly ask for God to fill us. Because God's got more for us. You know, in my old church, our pastor's wife, she's got a really broad Devonshire accent, and she always used to say, there's more. If only you knew, there's more. That was not a good Devonshire accent. But there is more, church, that we need to step into, and I believe God wants us to step into that. And we can't really see that. That's a shame. It looks really nice on my computer. But just as another time when I was walking in Malvern, I just saw like this. It just felt like God was peeking through the clouds, and I feel like that is where we are. That God, the glory of God, is beginning to peek through, and it's time for us to open up to God. So, Gary, would you mind coming back, and the worship team come back? So I'd like us to respond this morning to God, if we could. And if you say, you know, we want to be a church, we've said it, we said it with our lips, that honors God and seeks his presence. I wonder if that's what we want this morning. Perhaps where you are, you could just reach your hands out to God, just to say, God, I'm open to you this morning. And if you're not hungry for him, if you're not hungry for more of him, I want you to pray, God, make me hungry for you. Make me thirst for you. I long to thirst for you more. Spirit, I pray that you'll come and fill this room with your presence. Lord, we long to see your glory. Jesus. If there's anything in your life right now that comes to mind, that you just think, oh, I need to get right with God this morning. I need to just repent and just bring that to God. And just bring it to God today. Bring it to him. Jesus made a way so we could come into the presence of God and receive mercy in our time of need. Lord, I pray for mercy. Lord, we bring you our hearts, we bring you our minds, and we bring you our lives. And we confess, Lord Jesus, to you today. Feel that the The Lord wants us to make a commitment to step into what He has and to be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. And so if you feel you're on that journey with us as a church, you want to seek more of the presence of God in your life, then I'd just like you to stand where you are. It's just as a step of saying, I'm into this. I'm into you, God. Jesus. And Holy Spirit, I just pray, Father God, that you will come and fill my brothers and sisters. We are a family of God here, and we long for more of you. And Jesus, we just seek your face, Lord God. Lord, I know that signs and wonders are going to accompany us, Lord. But most of all, we want to see your face, Lord. We want to know your love in our lives, Lord God, in a fresh and new way. And Lord God, I pray, Father God, that you'll fill us with power today. Lord Jesus, that you'll come and set captives free, Lord. Father God, that you just come with your freedom. Lord God, come with your precious presence, Lord God, in this place. Let your glory fall, Lord God. Lord, I pray this morning, as I was praying this week, may your goodness pass before us. Lord, you are so good. We can't even comprehend how good you are. Lord God, reveal more of yourself to us this morning. Holy Spirit, just come, Lord God. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him more. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come.